Right, we are live, going live on Twitter. The boys from On Loose Lines are joining me. Daniel Hibbard and Toby McKinnon. Boys, you don't even have your names up. I'm hoping people know who you are by now. Who's going first? Toby, please.
All right. Hi, Paul. How are you? Very good. Yes, I know who I am. I'm Toby. I'm 6 foot, male, Caucasian, and I like long walks on the beach.
I thought we said this show was going to be quick and snappy and it was all going to be good. We've already got someone joined in, Frog. I don't know who Frog is, but well done to you, Frog, for joining into us, mate. We really appreciate someone joining in. Between the three of us, we do a little bit of emceeing and showcasing harness racing through Trot's Vision and different fields. And we want to do a little bit of a preview for Terang to showcase what we can do. And probably going forward, what we can do for other clubs. So if anyone wants to get in touch with us, by all means do. And if my Facebook account does get shut down, which who would know what it does, all this footage can be seen at all the W's, campbellscomments.com, or on my YouTube page as well, because who knows what's going to happen with Facebook and all the rest. It's a fair bit going on in the social media world this day, the boys. And neither of them.
A bit silly.
It has. It's got me on edge a bit too, I must say. So, but anyway, we will we'll get it sorted. There's no problems there at all. Topes, it's a ripper meeting. You and I are going to be emceeing the night there at Terang. And the one thing I love about Terang is how they honour or they keep a lot of the same sponsors' names. They're very religious about that part, aren't they?
Yeah, because they kept coming up with a cash to sponsor the races, Paul. It's a pretty easy equation, that one. So, but long-term supporters, the Terang Co-op, which is the cooperative group in the main part of town, and they cover everything you can think of, pretty much. They've got the supermarket, the feed store, and the hardware. So the Terang Co-op sponsored the Cup, the Pacers Cup, and Southwest Conveyancing sponsored the Terang Trotters Cup. And they're a great sponsor, Southwest Conveyancing, and it is the sort of thing, Paul, you could live in Albury, you could live in Maroochydore North, just to get that right, it's Maroochydore North, that's the expensive part of Maroochydore. You can get your conveyancing done by Southwest Conveyancing anywhere in the world, if you want, Paul.
Did they conveyance your haircut today at all, Daniel?
No, and I'm not taking the hat off, so it's staying on, but I'm sure over the next little while, plenty of people are going to get shocked when they see me.
Mate, there's nothing wrong with it. I can tell you, I'm jealous because there's a little bit up there, but yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Be proud, go bald, mate. It's all good.
Yeah, well, let's just say that the bald spot that was there is no longer there. It's just pretty much completely disappeared.
Gentlemen, we're going to do a preview, as I said. And it also, Tobes, isn't this a brilliant meeting? It's as good a cup meeting as I've worked. I must say I've done the last two down there, and this is a ripping meeting. Got some real quality horses going around.
Yeah, it's the first time, Paul, that HRV have gone with pretty much a full Metropolitan card. So in the past, the Melton Friday night would have carried a lot of the Metropolitan races, and would have only had the two feature races at Terang worth 20 and 25 and 50. The rest would have been $7,000 races. So it's the first time they've done that, and I think that goes back to the efforts of the club during the regional lockdown. There were some really successful nights, including the Gemmelite night and some other nights the club had that were really successful, and the turnover was terrific on Terang at Terang. So I think HRV made that call to support the club.
Even had you and I standing out in front of buses with yellow coats directing traffic. Righto, On Loose Lines, we normally are completely very structured and all over the shot in the same sentence. Tonight we're going to be reasonably structured in the way that we approach this. Tobes, you're going to start off with race one, which is a ripping race to start the card off. It's anywhere you look in this race. I must say the Crawley's Middle Hotel Terang Pace race number one kicks off at 6:06. Tobes, your thoughts on this race, mate?
Yeah, not a confident race to starting, Paul, and turnover is very high always at this time of night. So HRV always put generally the most even betting race they can find on the night as the first race. So people often wonder why the first race is always so hard at Melton on a Saturday night. There's no different here. I think Hugo Rocks, well, He either leads or he hands up. If he hands up, he puts Pinder Surprise, his main danger, three back the fence, which is probably a good thing. But then he risks losing the race himself because then he's relying on having the speed up the sprint lane. I'd love to know what James Herbertson's planning to do. I settled on Hugo Rocks initially as my winner, but then I looked at Tinder Surprise, and I've had some bad Tinder Surprises and I've had some good Tinder Surprises, Paul, and I couldn't work out which way to go, so I ended up just going with a skinny trifecta, 1-8 to beat 1-8 to beat 3, 5, and 9. And I think you'll find the 3 Delwyn Sons run at Charlton last time was pretty good first up. 5 Image of Stars, it just combines well with Ryan Duffy. You know, the second and third form for him is terrific. And the other one with a little bit of value is Rosarito Miss. Has got an amazing record at Terang. 8 starts, 4 wins, 4 placings. So I've left out Yankee Gold. I've left out a few others that are good place chances. But I think if you just stay skinny in this race and save your dollars, your big dollars for later in the night.
I think Tinder Surprise is special because I think even from 3 the fence, the speed that he showed at Shepparton one night, he'll be able to get over the top of them. And Terang's got a beautiful sprint lane there. They horses can make ground on it. Some sprint lanes they don't, but Terang's they definitely can. I think he is a special. Daniel, your thoughts?
I thought he was one of the better bets on the night as well, Tinder Surprise, actually. I think that the format of the 4-year-old Bonanza is going to be really, really strong. It's basically the whole field are going to come out of that race, I think, and are going to be going to be winning races. Obviously, the top end of it are going to the Chariots and so forth. But there's a couple of horses later on that are running at Terang that were in that Bonanza. The draw's probably a little bit tricky, but I think it's the best horse in the race. Karen's just going to need to get a little bit of luck, but if she gets it, I think it'll win. My number's in the first 8, 4, 5, and 1, but I reckon it's a real good child winning.
All right, Daniel. Well, I've got you because I know my man that it'd be itching to have some nice comments about the Good Time Lodge pace. It's a mare's race, 65-79. It's at 6:35. And I'm just trying to find who is the early market. It's a wide open betting race. I must say, Jillaby Adore is the shortest price favourite. But your selections, Daniel?
I went 2, 7, 8, and 6. I went for Jillaby Adore. I thought its win at Horsham was really good last time out. Had to do a little bit of work in the early part. And I think its form is pretty good. And it gets a decent barrier draw. Home track gets that advantage. I think it's the one to beat. To beat 7, which is 6 elements. So I think it's going really well at the moment. Like, the form probably doesn't suggest that, but it's been racing against some pretty strong opposition. Doesn't get the good draw, but I think it's formed strong enough to be a decent chance in this. 8 Lara J. McRae should get a cosy run along the peg line. And number 6, Minuscule, is in there for 4th. But I'm not overly confident in the race, but I think Jillaby Adore's the one to beat.
Tobes, the Good Time Lodge, great sponsors, and a couple of the better people of harness racing too. They're always up for a laugh, aren't they?
Yeah, very good friends of mine. The team at Good Time Lodge, Ian Slater and Courtney Slater and Mark Driscoll, who, they have a bit of fun and I do a bit with them. And, they're very good people and they've had a great year with Jillaby Kung Fu, amongst other stallions that they stand. This race, Paul, 6 elements, fire, air, water, earth, light and darkness, in case you're wondering what the 6 elements are. Going absolutely terrific. Jillaby Adore is very consistent. I don't think it's got the gate speed to cross Outback Shadow. Jason Lee, to quote Darby McGuigan again, could get his grandmother out in a 27-quarter. So that rings in my ear. I'm not sure she'll get to the front. 6 elements is absolutely flying. I think if it drew anywhere decent, it would have been the nominal tip in the race. I've settled on Key Yang Destiny, though. I think it'll be a little bit of value. Her figure form's terrible, 6, 4, 6, 9, but if you go back through them, you can just rule red lines through nearly every one of those. Cody Roschenberger takes the drive. You lose nothing with Cody. She's been a pretty good driver. She's been around plenty of times. Look, Saturday night might be a night. It may not be as well. She might get no luck again, but sooner or later, the things are going to fall her way, and I like the 10 Key Yang Destiny for a bit of value.
I actually like Lara J. McCrae because I think it's one of the better draws. Daniel, if you ever want to show off that new haircut that you've got, you nearly need to be next door to Mark with the shorts, and no one will take any notice of the haircut because I tell you, his shorts can take away everything else. That'd be a fair comment, Tobes.
I was still thinking about Lara J. McCrae. Well, she's drawn barrier 8, Paul, but in her last 5 starts, her draws have been 2-1-2, second row 3-1. So she's been drawing terrific, and she's only managed the one win, and that was at Mildura.
Yeah, but sometimes they use them up when they get those front line draws. That's my thinking anyway, Tobes. But, anyway, that's all right. Race 3 on the card. This is a time-honoured race. This race has been there every year that I've worked the Terang Cup, Tobes, in the Pat Bellman Memorial Pace.
Yeah, it's a long-standing race at the club, Paul, and I reckon the driver of number 5, Eastbury Jesse, would love to win this race, Michael Bellman. Not sure he will, though. I think Daniel will probably agree with me here. There's really 3 standout chances. 8 Can't Top This had a gear malfunction last week, something, Paul, you know plenty about. You've had plenty of gear malfunctions since you started this job you do now.
I wasn't sure where you were going.
Not that sort of gear malfunction. That run will have him cherry ripe for this. It was like a good trial in a sense. He'll be a little bit fresh. Paraki Lincoln's the natural leader in the race, but I think you'll find Jodie will still push out off the markers as soon as she can. He was terrific in the Tontine when he did a lot of work to try and hold the front, and then he did the old retake. He's the natural horse to tip in this race. Can't Top This. So he's straight out for me. I think Paraki Lincoln will give a great sight in front. Might be one for the multiples to include the one. He over races. He's a fiery customer. He'll need every bit of your brother Grant's ability to keep him relaxed in front. But I think he could run a drum if you're really looking for a place horse. But I think Dan will tell you 8, 3, and 7 are the main 3.
Very good. Daniel?
Very, very, very close to it. Yeah, I've gone 8, 3, 7, and 1. As Tobe said, completely forget the last run of Can't Top This with that gear failure, and the form before that is pretty well faultless. So, 15 starts for 4 wins. Which is a pretty good strike rate, and those wins have been in heat of the Vic Bridge. So, look, it's just got to get off the peg line. It's going to be really hard to beat. 3, which is a piece of Lou. It was a fourth at Melton behind Act Now and Idyllic, and on paper that would look really, really strong. Was beaten a little way, but they did really rip home there. It's obviously got a fair bit of ability. Kenya had it drawn a bit closer to the pegs. It probably would have been more of a winning chance for mine, but it's drawn 7. It just makes it a little bit harder. And the one, Paraki Lincoln, he's got the favours with the draw and should get a nice run. But I do think it's a pretty competitive race, but if the 8 is able to get away from the peg line, it's the one to beat.
You both mentioned Paraki Lincoln at $21. That obviously is a little bit of value there for a sneaky little place chance by the sounds of you both. I actually like Kenya, even from the wide draw. Stable in form. Aaron Dunn is flying. He's winning races everywhere, and I think this horse is a nice horse on the up.
Winning tonight too.
Yep, and he's a nice little horse on the up, I reckon. And, I don't think he needs too much luck. It's a small field. He won't be too far off him, even if he does go backwards. So I think that stable's going very, very good.
You could have a Quinella, Paul, Kenya and Pride Lands.
Yeah, you could. You could too, Tobes. You've got them all covered out, haven't you? While I'm talking to you, the race that's been named after you, the Wheelie Waste Pace, race caller's nightmare, that one, the Wheelie Race and the Wheelie Bins. Race number 4 on the card, Tobes.
There is a joke about Wheelie Bins, Paul. Have you heard that one? Where's your Wheelie Bin? I've been down the pub, don't tell the wife. Now, this race, Wheelie Waste, is owned by Gary Barton, who's a good harness racing participant from Warrnambool. Great man, Gary. There's a horse in this, Paul, that is probably similar to you, really, Key Yang Silvani. He's got a heap of ability, a heap of potential, doesn't always get it right, you know. He is... I will be backing this. Well, I don't bet, actually, but I'd be backing this horse to win. And if I was a Betfair player, I'd back it to not run a place. Because if it does everything right, it'll beat all these, hands down, no problems, right? But it's probably a 50% chance of doing everything right. If it gallops or makes a mistake, it'll just be out the back and run last. So Kiang Sylvania either win or run last. So if you want to play on Betfair, which some people do and some don't, the way it works is you can back this horse to win, or you could also go on the place and lay it for the place, and then either way you can make a profit.
That's your suggested bet is whichever way you want to go, if there's a bit of value or not. Daniel's got it in his numbers. I really like the Constitution, but it's also a little bit not dissimilar to Kiang Sylvania. It's still got a lot to learn. It's a very nice horse, big and green, though. That's a big thing for the Barneses. Daniel, you've got your numbers up as 7, 2, 5, and 8, but please do your recap, mate.
Yeah, I found this a really tricky affair. I thought Highway to Heaven was a nice winner at Bendigo, obviously coming over from New Zealand. Forget it's running September. Obviously, that was the really wet night down there at Tarang, and never got into the play behind the Major Jody. But it was a good win out there at Horsham, and I thought that it could probably back that up with another good run on Saturday night. Number two, I did the Constitution. I nearly put it on top. I thought its run at Shepparton was really, really good. It was horribly held up. It was badly held up. Craig had nowhere to go on it for the majority of the home straight. And I think if it had got out, it probably would have won the race at Shep. So it's going nicely at the moment, and from that barrier, it should get a clear run, you would hope. It's going to be really hard to beat. And then 5, which was Kiang Sylvania, as Toby mentioned, just needs to, if it puts it all together, it's going to be really hard to toss. And then 8, Metro Man, who's got the peg line draw. It's not a race I was really sort of keen on, but I thought Highway to Heaven might be a little bit of value from the barrier 7.
Toby, I didn't take...
Sorry, Paul, just before you move on, Highway to Heaven, that last preparation where it did have that one start and fifth, Paddy Lee said that the horse just didn't do well when it got here from New Zealand. It wasn't eating very well, and they ended up just tipping it out. It had a good little break, and it settled right in, and now it's doing much better on its feed, and it's just settled into the new climate. So that's why it had to only that one start.
I don't mind being compared to Kiang Sylvania, mate. I'm a one-eyed Carlton man, so if I was going to be compared to any horse on the race card that night, it'd be this one here. Southwest Conveyancing, Tarang Trotters Cup. Ripon Race always throws up some nice horses. I think McLovin won it, 2 years ago, was it, Tobes, that he first came over and won it? I think it was. So he's back to, I suppose, have a crack at the title. I see Johnny Caldo's down as a driver this time and the rest, and he's my on-top selection. But, Daniel, we'll throw to you first, and we'll hear what Tobes has got to say afterwards, mate.
Yeah, I've gone for McLovin probably just on history and his form in these sorts of races. Reasonably reliable from the standing start. 30 metres is a bit of a handicap for him, but obviously the smaller field makes it a little less so. I thought his Great Southern Star series was very good. He's second in the heat behind Tough Monarch. Was about as good as he could perform in that heat, given the way the race was run. And then the final, he drew barrier 6, and that sort of made it pretty hard for him, given he drew there. His run at Shepparton was great. I think he's still in really good form, and I think he's the one that they have to beat. Pinkalaz's Great Southern Star series, if you look at it on the whole, you'd say, apart from probably Tornado Valley, it was probably one of the, a really good series. To run fourth and then in the heat and then fourth in the final when, drawn outside the second row, it was a great performance. Again, the small field will suit her. She's getting fitter. That sixth in the Night Pistol wasn't too bad. She'll be just starting to get back into that groove, which saw her win all those good races during the winter period. I think it's a match race between those two. I think their class is above the others, in this race. Well Defined was my next selection. I thought it was a great run in the Ararat Cup. But this is another step up for this horse. And number 2, Scruffy Doolin, I think is going really consistently And he's going to, is always reliable enough from the stand. So if it gets a nice, cosy trip, it can certainly run the top four.
Very good. Topes?
Yeah, well, I've got a totally different opinion to Dan, and that's what's the beauty about our sport. If we all had the same opinion every race, it'd be a double chance, Paul. McLovin is giving Robbie Royal 30 metres, and Robbie Royal beat it last start. Now, they were off a mobile, off the same, and sure, Robbie Royal sat three back the fence and McLovin did a little bit of work, but he's got to give Robbie Royal 30 metres and he got beaten by it last start. Is McLovin a better horse? No doubt. I have no doubt he's a better horse, but Robbie Royal is my value in the race just on the sheer fact he was first up from a spell in that Great Southern Star. He ran six in the heat, six in the final. He's had a week off from the Night Pistol. He didn't run around in that week. Chris Alford gets on board. I can make a fair case for Robbie Royal. His stand start form's pretty good. He's won nine times or something from the stand. I think Pink Galahs, I think we might have got a bit ahead of ourselves with Pink Galahs. She won those five races, but if you go back through them, she was no more than 5 or 6 metres off the leaders when she made her effort, and she sprints hard for 150 metres and she doesn't sustain the speed. You go back through her last three runs, she's come hard for 150 and then she plateaus on her run. She's done that all 3 weeks. She's going to have to do some work in this race to get within 4 or 5 metres. We haven't seen her work and then sprint at the end of a race, and she's certainly not going to be on the leader's back like she was. So I like Robbie Royal. I think Well Defined's good value, and then McLovin would be my three. Sparkling Success did trial down here at Terang the other week. I was lucky enough to be on course for that, and he trialled okay with a couple of paces. That was last Tuesday, so it'll be about 13 days. He'll have another 13 days to get some work in on Johnny Meade. If he was off the front, he'd be a place chance, but I can't see him placing off the 20 metres pull.
One thing, Robbie Royal, Tobe, while you were talking about him then, he actually holds a track record at Bendigo from the stand. And that night in question, I think he actually beat Pink Galahs. I might be wrong on that occasion. They came off the stand same up. But I remember he flew the stand and got to the front. But he was in really good form at that stage too, don't forget. He was. I think he won 4 in a row or 5 in a row at that period. And I really like the horse going forward. So I agree, he's probably the great value. But I think McLovin is still the class horse of the field. And yeah, I really like him. But, yeah, if he captures that form that he did at Bendigo, that was over the 2100 too. Like, he really scooted along. I forget what he ran, but it was incredible. I think he went 58 from memory from the stand. So it was pretty impressive times. Tobes, another of the memorial races is race number 6, the Neville and Patsy Clark Memorial race, which has got a really good field, a very, very interesting field, I think, on paper.
Yeah, it's a good, solid field, Paul. Spoke to Josh Aiken today, actually, and Josh said that Honolulu Bay's pulled up well. He did pull up a little bit seemingly lame and had a vet's clearance after that race at Melton, where he copped a bit of a check from Boots Electric. He's very happy with the horse. He said the short distance will suit him. He feels he'll get across Typhoon Stride. I also spoke to Zach Phillips, and it seemed like Zach Phillips was hinting that he was going to hand up. I can see Honolulu Bay getting the lead easily. There's a number of horses in this race that would test him if he wasn't in front. But if he rolls along with an easy tempo in front, he's probably my best bet of the night, Honolulu Bay, just off the back of what Josh Aiken said today.
Daniel?
Yeah, he's one of my better bets of the night too. And purely, he's had a few issues, obviously, after that semi-final run in the sires. They've just taken their time with him. Nothing sort of went right in that four-year-old bonanza, and it was still a pretty good run under the circumstances. His run before that in the four-year-old race at Melton was incredibly strong. I thought it was one of his best performances in his career that night. And I think he finally gets a decent crack at leading without having to do too much work. And if he does that, if he can get a cheap quarter around that first corner, particularly over the sprint trip, he'll run a really quick last half and make it impossible for anything to come from behind. So I think he's the one to beat. I've put for second and third, I've gone 6, 8 and 1. I just sort of threw in a few numbers there. Changed the print, I thought, was a nice run at behind York here in the Mercury 80. Tricky draw, particularly over the sprint trip. But then the two pegline horses, Typhoon Stride and Jillaby Lorenzo, Honolulu Bay lead, they're going to be in the prime position to sort of, you know, run into the minor money. So that's my sort of thinking there. But I've gone 2, 6, 8, and 1.
Change of print could make the race very interesting because he can get motoring too from time to time when he wants to. So if he does want to get pulling off the arm, it could be fireworks on and then someone sitting back and sweeping could go okay. Horse that probably can't win this week probably because of the draw, but the Pantheus was a lovely run last week. And if the speed is ridiculous at $16, I think that's pretty good value. I'm not saying it can win. Probably can't even run a place, but it's one of those races that if it is on, you talk about Betfair before, Tobes, if it's on, that's the one you want to be just looking at the little odds later on in the night. Daniel, you get to go off first, mate, for the Terang Co-op Pacing Cup Group 2 event. And ripping race always is a ripping race. And actually, Tobes wants to go first by the looks. Daniel, he's taking charge.
Now, I've seen Daniel's numbers and basically whatever he says I agree with him, we move on to the next one.
Oh, we got to give it more than that, don't we? Used to.
this is a great cup field. I would do justice to sort of any of those big country cups, whether it's a Bendigo or a Shepparton or even a Ballarat to some degree. But Terang should be really proud of the horses that they've got in this field. I've gone on an each way play with 7 Malcolm's Rhythm. I thought his form of late has been really, really good. Without being able to win a race, I'm just going to bring it back up on the screen. His Hunter Cup run, he ran 8th, and he was just buried on the peg line. And, of course, it was impossible for him to make any ground. But his 2 runs before that, at Shepparton and at Melton, behind Lochinvar Art and Better Be the Bomb. He looked like he was going to win that race, and the only horse that could beat him was Better Be the Bond that was following him. It was a great drive that night by Greg Sugars, and he ran 2nd in the Shep Cup, and Greg saved all the ground in the world on him. I think he's going really, really nicely. I think he should be able to work forward from that draw and find a decent position. And if he's able to do that, he's definitely the each-way play for me in the race. 12, which is Wolf Stride, is just taking all before him over the last little while. 4th in the Hunter Cup. 3rd in the Ballarat Cup and the winner of the Bendigo Cup. It's pretty impossible to fault that sort of form. Tricky draw from the 12, but with the class that he's got, he's going to be probably able to offset that. For 3rd, I went 6th to Letting. I just think that he's probably going to work forward and he may find the front in the early stages and then head up to Malcolm's Rhythm. So he might get a nice, cosy trail on the peg line, and if that's the case, he's going to be really, really hard to beat. And then I had 13, which was Triple Eight in there, but I changed it to 4 Big Ben because he's number 8 because he's on the peg line and he's just been going off the charts. Some of his sectional times in a lot of these good races of late are just unheard of. For a horse that's getting running 6th and 10th and the times that he's running, it just doesn't seem fair that he hasn't been able to run into the money. So if he gets a crack at them, he's going to be really hard to beat. So 7, 12, 6 and 8, 7 each way for me.
Topes?
Look, Paul, I'm not sure if Daniel's been listening to the radio show I've been doing, but first of all, I said this could very... Today, my quote was, this could very well be a Ballarat, Bendigo or Shepparton Cup. That's how good the field is.
I didn't listen to your show. No.
Rollover won't lead. Jemison Steele, David Miles even said on the radio he didn't expect to lead. A Majestic Cruiser won't lead. Zadaka went back in the Ararat Cup. Soletic, talking to Josh Aiken today, Soletic, it's a very nice touch that John Cowder will be driving this horse. He drove him in his first win. Gavin actually gifted him the drive to get him to 100 one year for 100 wins for the season, that is. John and Gavin Lang, very, very close, as you know. So just I love the sentiment of them to put John Cowdo on Soletic. And I think my heart will be sort of going for Soletic a little bit. But I see him working to the front. I see him handing up the Malcolm's Rhythm. And once, if Malcolm's rhythm, and I said this on the radio on Tuesday when he was $8.50, if Malcolm's rhythm is in front after 400 metres and hasn't worked that hard, he's probably a $2, $2.20 chance from that point. $8.50 is huge value. Is he the best horse in the race? Maybe not, but if he gets to the front and then runs home in similar sectionals to what he did in the Hunter Cup, he can't be beat. He just cannot be beat. I think there's a host of chances off the back row. Wolf Stride, interesting stats for you, Paul. A wolf will run at about 7 or 8 kilometres an hour on the trot, but can sustain 72 kilometres an hour, which equates to a 20-second quarter. When I told Zach Phillips that today, he thought on those times that he could win by 50 metres, which was a bit of a light-hearted sort of moment. And I look at Wolves and the study of the Wolves there, Paul. 12 Wolf Stride is clearly probably the best horse in the race. 4 Big Men is absolutely flying. 888 spoke to Greg Sugars. He only had the horse for 3 days before his Hunter Cup run. He said the horse pulled up pretty flat after the Hunter Cup run, but he's really come alive in the last week. So I expect a better showing from 888.
I find the race very interesting. I think Wolf Stride's the best horse in the race. He's going to New South Wales to try and make the Miracle Mile next week. So he's obviously got a plan this week, I would say, why he's there. He must be a good doing horse in a way, because they back him up quite a lot and he seems to do it. I find it interesting both you guys are saying Sir Letic goes to the front. Before Bendigo Cup, I asked David Aiken what's a go with Sir Letic, where's his form gone? And he said he's got to learn to settle. He's got to go back and learn to settle and got to go back. I've tipped him as an each-way player of the day, but if he goes forward, I don't think he's any chance at all. I think that'll be the end of him, because he'll fire up too much, which is what he has done, and the 2,600 metres will bring him undone. If he goes back, I think he's the best bet for a place at the value, but if he goes forward, no, leave me out of him then. I think that'll be game over for him.
If he goes forward, though, there's a lot of horses on his inside that are probably not going to come out of the gate really humming. So that might be it might not be that he has to get really fired up to sort of work his way across. John might be able to just sort of come out reasonably solid, but then be able to get him to settle without having to fly across from that barrier. So that might be something for him to consider as well. But, you know, if he doesn't settle, then yeah, it does make it a little bit harder.
It's very hard to settle a horse when you're going forward, Daniel. After that, then it can be sometimes game over. He might get a helmet straight away and settle, but it's just one of those things that I love David Aiken. He's one of these wealth of knowledge, and he backed it up that night in the Bendigo Cup because he was an awesome run that night, and he was at one stage 2 and 3 lengths off the back of him, minding his own business. So, yeah, but anyway, that'll be fine. We're all here to agree and disagree, and that's what, as Toby's alluded to a couple of times, makes punting fun and tipping horses a bit of fun as well. Race 8, Toby, the Moores Bearings Duvaui Dominator. Now, this is a race that has been around for a long time. Moore's Bearings, mate, what do they do? I've done a botch of it, have I?
Del Vui.
Bearings you got right. Well, they're like, I assume they sell bearings. Oh, I don't actually know. I don't go in there too often to get the bearings looked at. Del Vui is the name of the racetrack at Terang, the Del Vui Paceway. And the Dominator, this race has been around for a long time, wasn't named after Wayne Johnston, who actually played his junior football at Wandon, Paul, where I played junior footy, which you'd be interested to know. The scoreboard there is named the Wayne Johnston scoreboard, or sorry, the Matthew Johnston scoreboard after his son. Major Meister will dominate this race. Zach Phillips, very, very happy with his horse. He obviously had the flat tyre in the Super Series. There was some unusual bloods come back about the horse, so you could wipe out the fifth and the zero out of his form. He was absolutely terrific at Melton last week. He ran past a lot of horses very quickly. I think it was a half a trial, that run. I think they wanted to just see where he was at. He sounded very chipper about this horse's chances today, and I think Major Meister will be the one to beat, Paul.
Daniel?
Agree. He's had no luck. His last run, things just started to turn around. And this is certainly a very, very, very winnable race for him. I think he's a big chance of winning this. Other numbers were 1, 7, and 2. I thought that Crafty Bart seems, for me, is a bit of an enigma. It either wins by panels or finishes out the back. So your heart will be in your mouth early on, but it wasn't a bad run in the Tontine. Won the Central Vic Championship at Board in good time. Then we've got seven, which is Gillaby Selwood, who only blemishes its defeat last time, which was behind Boy from Bondi. Before that, four great wins, including the Tontine. Very nice horse. I saw him win his first race at Shepherd, and he looked like he was above average on that occasion. And then Max Factor, number two, was a nice winner at Swan Hill. But all things being equal, if the nine gets any luck, and it's really due for a really good change of luck, it should be winning.
Bit of a sliding doors moment with Major Meister in a way. I was at Ballarat the night that the flat tyre happened. He walked into the ring. I think he'd won four in a row or five in a row at that stage. They paid the late entry fee to get into the super size. He was posied up in a beautiful spot. The tyre goes flat. Before that, he was taking the world ahead of him, and then all of a sudden that goes flat, and things just go that little bit pear-shaped. It's frustrating for trainers, I know firsthand, and I'm sure you guys do, but it's just one of those sliding door moments. If he didn't get the punch, he wouldn't. You know, he might have been the size champion, and he might have been going around in the Terrain Cup and not the dominator the race after.
Paul, don't have to talk to David Barbetti, and not rest assured Radius will be going around.
That's what you nearly jumped down the camera to do. He's back same time next week. Anyone's wondering, so don't worry. Yeah, 20 cents is enough for what he does.
Race. I want to hear you pronounce this.
The Mount Noorat Freighters Pace, and it is Mount Noorat because I actually used to go to the pub. There's a pub, isn't there? What is it, Tobes?
There is a pub there at Mount Noorat.
Mount Noorat. All right, Noorat. How is Jim Luby going?
You got his name right. Unbelievable. This race, Paul. Now, in years gone by, this would have basically been, with a couple of extra horses, a Terrain Cup.
Yeah.
If you look at it, you would have said that's good enough to be a Terrain Cup. Now, I looked at this race. I dissected it, and I still have absolutely no idea who will win this race. If you're a Betfair person, go on and lay the favourite. Whoever it is, just lay the favourite. I'd love to see a market. I can't work out who will be favourite. I suppose our Princess Tiffany will be favourite. I'm not sure. Kanina Provlima could win the race with the right run behind the leader. Alpine Stride was terrific last week. I Cast No Shadow has been great at its first two runs. Ideal Some Magic, its form's behind Lock and Varad and Ride High. It's the query runner because it's first up. Our Princess Tiffany might very well be our best mare in Australia. Riley Major's been outstanding. His two runs back. If you just go off the basis of that, he'd be favourite. And Reactor Now, Josh Aiken, he's been going terrific and out of luck. So I can make, this is like a day in court for me. You can make cases for everything.
You're the king of them. Reactor Now, a good mate of mine, Bluey Old, and a lot of people like to see him. He hasn't been at the races for a long time. I'm sure he'll be hoping that he can get the cash, but I think our Princess Tiffany's a Monty in it. I think she's one of the better mares going around at the minute, and I think wherever she posies up, she's not one of the better mares going around at the minute, Topes.
No, we're not having Monty's anymore, mate. We haven't had them for ages.
Hey, my daughter's out there practicing. Don't you even go there. Thank you very much. Daniel, your thoughts on this race, please, before he keeps going, casting more shadows on this race.
Yeah.
I cast no shadows.
Jeez, this is a...
Tune in the Trots Vision. You'll get more of this.
Yeah. This race is good enough to be, a cup. It, essentially could have been a cup consolation, if you like. I do like our Princess Tiffany. I think this is a good stepping point for her to the Ladyship Mile, and I think she'll be running a good race in this leading up to that race. So for that, I've put her on top. I thought for her to win that race first up from a bit of a break at Melton, 153.1. and a half in 54.6. She's obviously in tip-top form, and I think that's probably the best form for a race like this. So I'll put her on top to win. Reactor Now, he's that last run at Melton was much better than what he'd sort of been putting up with the last few. He'd had obviously a few issues and nothing had sort of gone right. And as we sort of mentioned previously, he sort of raced through those classes and he ended up in the top rung of his age group very, very quickly. I think that last run was good enough to suggest that he's going to be more than competitive in the top grade going forward. After that, I've gone with number two, which is Alpine Stride, who was also in that race behind Eureka last time, and number six, which is Riley Major, just as a bit of a throw at the stump. I thought it was okay in the Ararat Cup, and might just get a bit of might get a softer drive in this one and be a top four chance. But I really like our Princess Tiffany.
Tobes, what did Dave Miles say about the one? Did he give it much of a push?
Oh, when I had Dave Miles on, we didn't really go through too many horses, Paul. We were talking more about training techniques. I did a two-hour show on Wednesday, which the feedback of which from everybody has been just amazing. So if you can go on to Trot's Life and find Wednesdays for anyone that wants to hear, I had people with alternative training methods, Brett Shipway and Glenn Conroy, Clive Dalton, David Miles and Brett Bunfield all talk about the way they train horses, and it was all vastly different. So I didn't ask him about this horse, actually.
No, it was just an eye-catching run last week, and I know they're having troubles trying to get it settled, but I wasn't sure where how he was. I was there earlier in the week doing horse's teeth, and just wondering how it might have got through the week, but that's okay. Yeah, Benny Seatry and them from New South Wales, they're keen to win a nice race with her, that's for sure.
I think he thinks it's a Grand Circuit horse at its best, but nearly everything in that race can be at their best, so it's one of those sort of races, if you ask me.
Grand Circuit, though, is a big call, that's for sure. So that's a very big call. We are up to the 10th. We may have had a slight technical issue there in the middle, boys, but we're up to the last race on the card. It's been a long night and going very, very well. And you wouldn't believe this. This is the trot. Tobes, you might give the sponsor's name out for me, mate.
Ridley Agri Product.
That's right. I've got it on. Yeah, Ridley.
Or is it Ridley, a grip rod up.
Yep, very, very good. your thoughts, Tobes, on this race?
Lots of thoughts, Paul. A lot of muscle. Something that people have been talking to me about this for a long time, Paul. A lot of muscle. I've heard it all my life. I think it'll be too good for these. Matty Craven at Store when it ran second. Look, I think the horse was primed for the Tontine, and if he had won that race at Store, he would have had to start off 10 metres. It was like a trial at Store when he ran second, so you can almost rule the line through that. He's got a big opinion of this horse, Matty. I think he probably is the nominal favourite in this race, and I think he'll win the race. A lot of muscle. There's a lot of other chances, though. Father Christmas will deliver it sometime this year. Who knows, but he has been going terrific, Father Christmas. The Penny Drops, another horse that's ultra consistent. It's been that way for some time. The Penny's dropped there, Paul. Down Under Barkers, no jokes, it's flying. Blue Common is a nice little horse. So too is Icicle. And Prosthesis, they tell me, he's grown a leg.
It had to come, Daniel, didn't it?
Yeah, it was always going to come that.
Daniel, your thoughts?
Anyway, yeah, tough race. I thought I went down Under Barkers number seven. I thought its form of late's been really strong. Six for second, the Penny Drops. Another one I think has just been racing really consistently of late, and this is certainly an opportunity for another win. One lot of muscle. Look, I just reserve judgment on where it's at the moment. So I thought it was a good win at Hamilton, and then it was. Yeah, it was a funny run at Stall at, Toby.
Eklund South.
I'll reserve judgment on it until after this run. So it'll probably come out and win and prove how good it is. But I'll just leave that one out. And two Icicle, who was a nice winner at Ararat, I thought was a good run there that night. Certainly a place chance. But 7, 6, 1, and 2 for me in the last.
I like the Petty Drops. I think it's a nice little horse. What it wants to in a small field really, really suits it. Father Christmas, Tobes, will be looking forward to the Bort Cup. I think that's the race for Father Christmas. Tight little turning track. Does definitely like it. Daniel, you went around and got your best bets for the night, and I actually put a tile up for those, mate. You can quickly go through those if you like.
Yeah, so my best for the night is race 1, number 8, Tinder Surprise. I think it's a great chance to win the first race and get the punters off to a great start. Race 6, number 2, Honolulu Bay. I just think that race just matched perfectly for him. And race 7, number 7, Malcolm's Rhythm in the Cup on an each-way basis. They were my three plays in the Terrain Cup meeting.
Toby, are you going to disagree with anything you just said?
No, I gave Tinder Surprise a good chance, Paul. As I said, I've had good. There's been good ones. There's been bad ones. I think
he rehashes the old jokes. Honolulu Bay was,
you know, about the best of my night as well. I think it just wins that race, and I really like Malcolm's Rhythm. I think if they're the three bets people have, they're only three bets they have for the night. I think they'll get a very, very, very good sight.
Boys, I've enjoyed it. Topes, you and I are going to have a lot of fun Saturday night. Trots Vision, tune in. We'll be going 15 minutes prior to the first, catching up with the winning reins person after the last as well. And we'll be going pretty much all night, Topes, catching up with as many drivers and people as we can, COVID safe and all the rest, but have a little bit of fun. Daniel, you can sit back and watch us.
I will do that, absolutely. Looking forward to a big night there at Terrain.
Very, very good. Gentlemen, thank you very much for our Terrain Cup preview. I've enjoyed the banter. Well done, boys. Thank you for spending some time.
Thank you, Paul, and best of luck if you're having a bet on Saturday night.
Absolutely.